Hallelujah. Because I just sense in my spirit this is so very, very important. John the 14th chapter, I'll tell you what verse in a moment. But my subject last week was living a life of peace. And of course, it's the same subject this week, living a life of peace. Because too many of God's people, they're born again, they washed in the blood. When they leave here, they're going to heaven because they're born again. But too many of them are tormented in their minds. They have no soul peace. Amen. Or should I say, some of them, very little soul peace. I want to read from John, the 14th chapter. I want to read the 27th verse. This is what Jesus said. Amen? How many of you know when Jesus speaks, we need to listen? John chapter 14, verse 27. Jesus said, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." Hallelujah. I want to read that verse again. "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world give do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Let's pray. Father, I thank you for this time that we have together. Thank you, Father, for every person that's hearing this message today. I pray that they will have open ears to hear and open heart to receive. Hallelujah. Minister to them, Father God. Bring peace in the areas of their life where there is no peace or where there is very little peace. Hallelujah. And I thank you, Father, for the honor, the privilege of ministering your word. Therefore, I ask you, Father, to speak through me, think through my mind, use this vessel for your glory. And Father, we will give you the glory, the honor, and the praise in Jesus' mighty name. Somebody shout amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Now, you're at John chapter 14. I want you to go a couple of chapters over to John chapter 16. And Jesus is still teaching here. And in chapter 16, verse 33, Jesus had taught them the word, his word. Amen? He was teaching them his word, and that's what I'm doing here, standing before you now, bringing you the word of God. And this is what Jesus said. He said, this is verse 33, John chapter 16, verse 33. He said, "These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world." Do you know that? I said, do you know that? Hallelujah. Glory to God. So as you hear the word of God here this morning, let it bring peace into your life. And you say, well, Pastor, glory to God, I'm already at peace. Well, you know what? That is a great thing. Hallelujah. Amen. But just go ahead and add to it. Just go ahead and add to it. Bless the name of the Lord. Now, last week, we talked about Mary and Martha. I won't go back into that, but it's found in Luke chapter 10, verse 38 through 42, where Jesus came and to their house, and they were he was welcomed by Martha into the house. And, of course, Martha is just like many of us today. You know, she loved Jesus. How many of you love Jesus? Amen. She loved Jesus, but just because you love Jesus doesn't mean you can't get frustrated. Doesn't mean that somebody can't get on your last nerve. And as we see from this example, the person that got on her last nerve at that particular moment was someone that was very close to her, and it happened to be her sister Mary. Amen. So that's a lesson we can learn right there. People that are close to you, the closest to you sometimes are the one that aggravates you or frustrate you the most. Now, you don't have to say amen on that, because the person sitting right beside you may be the person that's closest to you. And so you want to be careful how you say amen on that point, because you might get yourself in trouble. So, hallelujah. Glory to God. But that is the truth. Sometimes it's the person that you love the most that get on your nerves the most. But you know what? We need to make sure that don't happen, that we don't leave the door open for that to happen. I am so glad that we can sit down and talk about things. You know, there is another option to arguing and fussing. Hallelujah. There's another option to pointing out each other's faults and where they come short. Oh, I'm preaching the word to you this morning. It's called sitting down and talking about it. There's a difference between talking and fussing, or talking and arguing. You're talking about what you may disagree on, and then after you talk about it, then you pray about it. You know, the devil can't, when you have joined hands together, and especially husband and wife, it can be anybody, but husband and wife usually closer than anybody else to each other. But when you join hands and you're praying about a situation that you may disagree on, it is hard for the devil to get in the middle of that. It's hard for the devil to get in the middle of that. And you join, y'all listening? You join hands and you pray about it, and you invite Jesus into the situation, his wisdom. Lord, it's not my way, nor it's not her way or his way. Lord, it's your way. So, Lord, reveal to us your way. Hallelujah. This is just a Selah moment. I'm just letting it soak in and to see if there's any more amens or praise the Lord or thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. You can't fight and pray at the same time. So, going back to Martha, I didn't mean to stay on Martha that long, but But going back to Martha, you know, she's, I told you last week, she was a good lady. She loved Jesus Christ. You know, I believe Martha was a godly woman. But she had this sister that did not get up and help her prepare for their guest. This particular sister, Mary, decided that she was going to sit at the feet of Jesus and hear his words. Well, that got on Martha's nerves. And so, you know, I don't suppose she wanted to fuss at her sister in the presence of Jesus. You know, it's kind of hard to be arguing at your loved one and Jesus is right there. You know, but she did approach Jesus and said, you know, Lord, look at her. Don't you care? I'm just working. As we would say, some folks would say today, I'm working my fingers to the bone. And there she sit. But she didn't get the response from Jesus that she thought she was going to get. And by the way, let me say this while I'm on that subject. You're not always going to get the response from Jesus that you thought you were going to get. But Jesus told him, Martha, look at here. You're fretting about everything. You're worried about this. I'm kind of paraphrasing here. And listen, your sister here, your sister Mary, she's chosen the important things. Which is to hear my words. She want to hear the word of God. That's what she's chosen to hear. But Martha needed someone to help her cook and help her prepare for her guests. But my wife brought out a good point last week. We were talking about the message, and she brought out a good point, and I want to share it with you. What Martha didn't realize is that she had the miracle worker sitting right in her house. If he can feed 5,000, if he can miraculously feed 5,000, if Martha had chosen to sit with Mary at the feet of Jesus and hear the word of God, I believe Jesus would have worked a miracle and they'd all had enough to eat. And Martha wouldn't have been tired. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Well, I stayed there longer than I intended to, but it was still good to hear it a second time, wasn't it? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. All right, so we talked about Martha, and I asked you a question last week. I asked you what brings peace to you. What is it that brings peace? And it's the word of God and the hearing of the word of God that brings peace into our lives. You hear me, folks? It is the word of God that brings peace into our lives. Hallelujah. And I told you, I said, you must feed your spirit. You must feed your spirit. The Bible says that our makeup is spirit, soul, and body. Amen. And so we must feed our spirit. If we're going to grow spiritually, then we must feed our spirits. Jesus himself said in Matthew chapter 4, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. When we get a hold of that, that will literally change our lives. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We must feed our spirits. The Apostle Paul told us, and we went over to 2 Corinthians, and we read about some of the hardships that the Apostle Paul went through, and he went through a lot of hardships. But none of it ever got on the inside of him. It was the word of God that he kept on the inside of him. And he had this testimony. He said, my body is getting older. My body is having to go through things. But my spirit is being renewed day by day. You hear me? My spirit is being renewed day by day. Are you still here? Hallelujah. That's how we are to walk in peace, is through the word of God and by way of the word of God. Hallelujah. Turn in your Bibles to Isaiah chapter 26. Isaiah chapter 26. Glory to God. You know, Isaiah 26. And I'm reading from the New King James Bible, and I'll begin reading at verse 3. It says, you will keep him in what? Perfect peace. You will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. You will keep him in perfect peace. I'll read on, then I'll say what I need to say here. Verse 4 says, trust in the Lord forever. For in y'all, I think the original King James said Jehovah, right? Am I right? Okay. Trust in the Lord forever, for in y'all, the Lord is everlasting strength. We have to ask ourselves a question sometime. We have to do a self-examination and find out, what is it that bugs me? Yeah, we need to ask ourselves a question. What is it that gets on my nerves? And then we have to make a decision that I will not allow this thing or this person, it may be, I will not allow this to lord over my life. God promised me peace, and I'm going to walk in peace. God promised me peace, I'm going to live in peace. I've told you sometimes you need to shut the television off. I watch the news occasionally. I do watch the news some. But you know, if you watch it, you find out that it keeps repeating. Maybe a different person, but you keep hearing the same story over and over and over and over again. And if you allow that stuff to get on the inside of you, you will become depressed. It can steal your peace. So you need to be very selective. I'm not saying you don't want to be informed and not know, you know, what's going on. That's not what I'm saying at all. But you don't want to let that stuff get on the inside of you. Because remember, Jesus said, in the world is the world. He said, but in me, you'll have peace. Be of a good cheer. What? I have overcome the world. He said, I've overcome the world. Hallelujah. And if Jesus overcame the world, guess what? Through Christ Jesus, I've overcome the world too, through him. Through him. You hear what I'm saying? Through him. That means I put my trust in him. I put my hope in him. I put my hope and my trust in what he says in his word. Amen. That's the reason I most of the time when we get ready to dismiss, I will speak these words over you from Psalm, especially from Psalms 91, which says, you know, there shall, this is not the whole Psalm, but there shall no evil befall you, neither shall any plague come near your dwelling. But do you know you need to be saying that about yourself? Get up in the morning. Father, I just thank you that there's no evil going to befall me today, neither shall any plague come near my dwelling, because I am walking with you and I am standing on your word. I thank you, Heavenly Father, that your angels are encamped around about me, protecting me in all of my ways. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. I thank you, Father God, that there are angels assigned to me. Hallelujah. You have angels assigned to you. Some of y'all giving your angel a hard time. The Bible tells us that the angels of the Lord respond to his word. You hear me? They respond to the word of God. And they're trying to protect you, and they're trying to keep you, and they're trying to, the angels just trying to do their job that God has assigned them to do. And sometimes we make it so hard on them. Speaking everything but the word of God, speaking contrary to the word of God. These angels are listening for the word of God that activates them. When I make this confession over you, there shall no evil befall you, neither shall any plague come near your dwelling. That's the word of God, and it activates the angels of God. Now you can neutralize it. You can go right out of this door and say, oh, God, I just don't know what's going to happen to me. Think I'm going to lose my car, I'm going to lose my house. Daddy died last year, and I guess I'll die this one. That's not going to put you the angels to work for you. If we are created in his image and in his likeness, that means then that our words also have power, especially when it concerns us personally. Yes, it does. There's some things I don't say anymore that I used to say. I used to say, man, you about scared me to death. I don't say that no more. You do know there are folks that you can say boo to them and they'll have a heart attack. But I live in peace. I do. I live in peace. Is it always easy? No. Am I challenged? Yes. What do you do, Pastor, when you're challenged? When you're challenged to be afraid, or when you're challenged in your body, or when you're challenged? I go back to the Word of God. I go back to the Word of God. Even though I know what it says, I still go back and read it again. because we have been told to fight the good fight of faith. We've been told to fight the good fight of faith. We're told in the Word of God that we walk by faith and not by sight. God's people have got to stand. We've got to stand up. God needs us here in the earth. I got a news flash for you. I said I got a news flash for you. And that's for each and every one of you, too. Nobody accepted. God wants you well. I'm gonna say that again, just in case some of you missed it. God wants you well. But Pastor, you don't understand what I'm dealing with. But hold. That doesn't have anything to do with God's will. God wants you well. But you have to understand something. We've got to work with him. Things, he wants me well, but just because he wants me well doesn't necessarily mean I'm going to be well. Doesn't necessarily mean my body won't be attacked. My body has been attacked. Some of you that were here, you remember back in 2010, I was in and out of here for a couple months because my body had been attacked. But I want to tell you something. Glory to God. My wife and I, we fought this thing. We fought the good fight of faith. Glory to God. We was out there in Tulsa, Oklahoma, at the hospital out there, and they was building, they was a building a new section onto the hospital, and they told us, say, listen, this is what I want y'all to do. And they gave us all, little Sharpies. They gave us all Sharpies. And they had the cement floor. They hadn't put the carpet down yet. And they gave us all Sharpies. Everybody wanted one. They gave us all Sharpies. And they said, go on over there and begin to just write some scriptures down, healing scriptures, healing scriptures. So Kathy and I and several other people, wasn't a whole lot of people in there, was it? I'm surprised at that. Everybody at that hospital was dealing with cancer. But Kathy and I, we went in there and a handful of other people, man, we went all over that floor with little Sharpies. 1 Peter 2:24 and just a pile of healing scriptures on that floor before they laid the carpet. At the hospital. Hallelujah. Got another news flash for you. You see this carpet here on this floor, which is about to be changed in a few weeks. We got to get that taken care of first, I think. But I don't know if it's faded out or not. But there are scriptures. We had Sharpies, and this was before Tulsa. This was back in 2002, before they laid this carpet. If you was part of that, raise your hand. Margaret, if you were part of that, Doreen, yeah, Priscilla, Kathy, and Jim, and Arnetha, several of you, and we were all in here writing scripture. Writing scripture on this floor. Healing scripture, salvation scriptures, just on this floor before they laid the carpet down. Glory to God. And the contractor told me, he said, he's a Christian, He told me, and I didn't know he was going to do this. I didn't ask him to do this, but he did this on his own. The contractor put a Bible inside the concrete right under here. Amen. So when I'm, yes, like my wife says, whoever's preaching up here standing on the word of God. Man, I'm serious about this stuff. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And when Jesus looked at his church and he says, Father, my church, my people, many of them are not at peace. They're worried. They're upset. They're opening their bodies up for sickness and disease because they're stressed out over unnecessary things. When I've already told them to cast all your cares upon me because I care for you. Jesus cares for you. Jesus cares for you. What many of us have not learned to do, whatever it is that's bugging us, we hold on to it rather than giving it to him, letting him carry it, let him do away with it, and us walk in peace, trusting him. I hope you're still here. I want to read Isaiah 26, verse 3 and 4. From the New Living Translation. Listen how it reads. You will keep him in perfect peace, all who trust in you, all whose thoughts are fixed on you. Trust in the Lord always, for the Lord God is the eternal rock. See, that's my job as a pastor, is to point you to Jesus, to point you to the answer, to point you to his word. Glory to God. I'm going to go just a few minutes, and then I'm going to let you go. Go to 2 Peter with me. 2 Peter. See, God's called us to live a victorious life. Does that mean we're never going to have any challenges? Certainly not. We'd be deceiving our own selves. You're going to have some challenges. You're going to have some challenges. You may face a time when you don't know where your next meal is coming from, but I tell you one thing, it's coming. According to Psalm 37, even in the days of famine, those who trust God will be satisfied. I heard another preacher say, and I'm just repeating after him, but God has not lost the recipe for manna. If I can get you to trust God, you're well on your way. 2 Peter, the first chapter. This is beautiful here. Beginning at verse 2. notice what it says here. Grace and what?
Peace.
Grace and what?
Peace.
Grace and peace be multiplied to you. Oh, by the way, he's talking to believers here. You hear me? This letter was written to believers. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus Christ, because there is no peace where there is no knowledge of God. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. As, listen to this, as his divine power has given to us a few things. Whoa, 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 say what? Oh, glory to God, all things. Is that in your Bible? As his divine power has given to us all things that pertains to what? Stop right, stop right there. His divine power has given to us, say that's me, has given to me all things that pertain to life. That pertains to life. And I'm going to finish the verse, but I want you to let that sink in. Get it on the inside of you. His divine power has given to me all things that pertain to life. Say that. His divine power has given to me that life. If it pertains to life, he's given me the answers. The answers are available. Now let's read it again. As his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and what?
Godliness.
Now see, what happens, what trips us up sometimes, that too many times we want the life, but we don't want the godliness. They work together. Let me say that again. They work together. His divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. And how does it come? Please tell me. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Go ahead, put verse 4 there while we're at it. 2 Peter 1:4. By which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises. You know, if you have a Bible that you don't mind writing in, where it says, by which have been given to us, you need to put your name right above us. By which have been given to James, or you might say me, exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these I may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Let me tell you something. When we read the Word of God, we believe the Word of God, we receive the Word of God, we act on the Word of God, it causes us to become partakers of his divine nature. We're no longer acting like the old man, the old person. No, no, no. Now we are acting according to God's word, and our lifestyle pleases him. Folks, listen. If you want God's blessing in your life, if you want it operating in your life, listen to me. Live right. Live right. Look, look, look. I know it's very popular today, and this is not a popular message, but this is just one example. There's other things. If you're shacking, do one or two things. Get married or separate if you're going to walk with God and live right and enjoy his blessings. Y'all ready to go home? I want God's blessings on my life. Listen to me, I've made a decision. I'm going to stand on this word. But when I say I made a decision that I'm going to stand on this word, it's not just the word I want to stand on. I got to stand on all of it. You know, there's a place in the Bible, husbands, you know where there's a place in the Bible where it says, husbands, love your wife. And guess what I'm supposed to do? Love my wife with a husbandly love. Now, time we living in now, folks, some of these guys, and I'm talking about church folks, they want to love somebody else's wife. Remember I told y'all last week, you know, I would love to have a church seated from balcony to bottom with no available seats. Right now that's not the case, but I'm not going to compromise the word of God to get it. Because one thing I learned, you ever notice, you got all these folks wanting to be pastors, got all these folks, some of them wanting to be bishops and wanting to be apostles and prophets and prophetesses, and, you know, and they want, you know, they wanting all these positions, you know, and thank God they're, you know, they're all apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers, bishops. I understand that. All that is biblical. But the Bible also said you need to be careful how you seek these positions, because much is going to be required of you. I don't want to be in God's hot seat when he asked me, or if he was asked, what in the world are you doing over there? That's not where I called you. Well, Lord, I just wanted to be an apostle. Well, you know what? If you're called to be an apostle, you need to be an apostle. And by the way, you don't become apostle right after you get saved either. Or a pastor either. I don't know how I got off on that. Some of y'all must have been praying for that. Glory to God. But anyway, they took my scripture off. Y'all put my scripture back up. I promise you, I'm getting ready to quit. Hallelujah. Oh, there it is. All right. Love you guys. Y'all the greatest. Hallelujah. Listen, I want to leave this with you. By which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped what? The corruption that is in the world through lust. If you live in that part of it, you're not going to be a part of, you're not going to partake of the divine nature. You can't have both. Hear me good. We can't have both. We have to choose. I choose to live for God. I don't want to live the life of sin and lust and all that stuff. I want to live for God. And I'm going to live for God. And I am living for God. Because I want my life blessed. I could say more about that, but I won't. I'm going to let you folks go home in a few minutes. Did this bless you?
Yes.
Now, as I get ready to close, just remember something. When the Word of God says that we have these precious promises given to us, one of those precious promises is a life of peace. A life of peace. Right now, I want you to bow your heads.